Thank you, Mr. Westtuttle. Okay, let's assemble ourselves. We've got a lot to do today. I hate to break up the fun time, social hour. All right. Do what? Good morning, Cameron. How's it going, man? Good. Did you bring your machine?
No.
Oh, he'd want to see it. He loves those things. All right. Well, we've moved into the month of December, the last month of the year. Man, they just go so fast. Cameron doesn't understand that. Cameron thinks it's going to be forever before he gets out of college. Man, it'll be over before he knows it. let's not waste a lot of time. Good friend, many years, longtime friend, John Hintz is here to teach us from Tucson Bible Church. And I ask you to be in prayer for his assembly and the speakers there, and then also for here. So, John, let me just turn it over to you, and you go at it.
You know, see, I got to put that thing on because I cannot be leashed. Yeah, I wanted to. Either that or I'm going to have to pick up the podium and carry with me. There we go. How about them? Oh, I guess I'm teaching out of Isaiah 26 today. Their corpses will rise. Can I move this? I'm going to try to stay away from Wes's piano. Protect it, if I may. Before we get started, boy, I had some nice slides for you, and I'll tell you about them right here, because my computer doesn't hook up to your watch-a-doodle there. So we'll go without slides today. We shall persevere. Where are we? We're going to be in Isaiah today. No, we're not. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. This is first, not the last. So instead of turning to Isaiah, let's go to Galatians. Y'all probably may be able to find that. If not, look in your table of contents. I teach at Salvation Army Adult Rehab Center every week. Been doing that 3-4 years. And one of the things I teach the guys there is how to look in the index to find the books in their Bible. And a lot of times I'll just give them one of these great big paper clips. And I say, you put that in your Bible right on the index so you can open up that index real quick and you can find it. And I'll give them a hint, Old Testament, New Testament, and then let them look for it. And that's a easy way for them to do it. Because there's not really much sense in, you know, studying the Bible without your Bible. Now, second thing is, before we get into our subject today, is I brought some Risley calendars, okay? Now, I just have a few. These, if you receive the Risley newsletter printed from me, then don't take a calendar. You have one coming in the mail. Be here this next week. If I have your address and you've told me you wanted a calendar or something, don't take your calendar. You'll get one. Otherwise, two things. We'll hand them out while we have enough. First come, first serve. And if you would like to be on the Risley list and get the newsletter, just email me, Pastor John Hintz, that's my name, at AOL.com, and say, hey, I want to be on the Risley list, and or send me a calendar, and I'll send you a calendar. Is that fair enough? Risleys are doing well. I talked to Bill the other day. They've kind of been running in and out of Mexico. A lot of exciting things going on. When I talked to him the other day, he said, oh, things are going pretty well. He said the Marines have the town square where they live sandbagged, and there's some machine gun fire going back and forth, but nothing serious. And somebody was murdered about a block from where they used to, where Courtney used to live, and she moved her clinic, and somebody was murdered about a block from her old place. And I may have put out a few weeks ago, there were three doctors kidnapped, and they released two, and one was beheaded. And the scary thing is about doctors is the cartels, they're having some arguments, and they need doctors. They will send the police to get a doctor. And they'll come at night and take you. And you know, the deal with the cops is the cartel tells them, you either go get the doctor or we'll murder you and your wife and your kids and your parents. And, you know, they have an incentive. It's called the incentive program. And and so that's one of the things that makes it dangerous. It seems like if your patient lives, they let you go. If your patient dies, they cut your head off. There's another incentive. See, it's almost like the free market. So keep them in your prayers. A couple times they left town and hid because the police told them to. All the doctors were evacuated. But they hate that because it just means that things that need to be done don't get done. And maybe during the week, maybe 10, 20, 30 people will come to Christ during their ministry that week, and they feel like that's a week they're not there, you know, and they're not Calvinists, but nevertheless, that's a week that people don't get saved, and they're dealing with a lot of old folk. And they feel a responsibility to give them the gospel. So keep them in your prayers. I don't know if you've been following them around or following what they've been doing, but their soup kitchen, and Courtney being a doctor, has just opened up fantastic avenues. In the little village where they've lived for 15, 18 years, they never had the opportunity to minister there. They were always known as the gringos. And after the last couple of years, just things that have happened, and Courtney opening the clinic, then they opened up the soup kitchen. The whole village town has just opened up to them, and they're no longer called the Green Ghosts. And it's amazing how God has worked. It's sometimes I almost think God knows what He's doing, and He kind of plans ahead a little bit, because when they were younger, they were able to go out into the little villages. When I say little village, rancheros, where two or three people are. And I keep telling them, those aren't the Billy Graham crowds, you know. And we all know that God is interested in quantity, not quality, you know. And so they just witness in these little villages, little rancheros, and maybe lead one or two people to Christ. They come back the next week, and there's seven or eight people there. And so they teach them Bible class. Next week, there may be 10, 12. The people in Mexico, they have not learned the doctrine that you have to be saved for at least 10 years before you can witness to someone. And so they think, wow, this is so great. I'm going to heaven. They just tell all their friends, and people are coming to get the lessons and to study. And they slept on the ground. They did all of this stuff. But now that their teeth are a little longer, it's hard for them to do those things. The 120, 25 degree heat gets them in the summertime. I don't know why. And so it's as if God has moved their ministry where now people are coming to them to hear the gospel and to be taught the word. And that's what the soup kitchen has done. People come to them, they witness to them, they bring their friends, and then they have Meals on Wheels where they take food to people who can't get out and give them the gospel, and next thing you know, they come back the next week, there are four or five people there ready to be taught. And that's basically what they do. And God has really just blessed them, so I ask you to keep praying for them. Okay, let's pray, speaking of prayer. And let's get into our study today, okay? Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, your grace. I thank you for your love. I pray that as we spend some time in your word today, that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would teach us and would show us the things that you would have us to see. These things I pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that, don't go over there. One of the things that, I get excited. Wes thinks his piano is going to be ruined. Look at here. That I have emphasized over the years in our particular church. And by the way, Tucson Bible Church salutes you and wishes you well. Says howdy. One of the things that I've tried to emphasize over the years is living your life in the light of eternity. And we live in the Pepsi generation. Everything's now. What's now? I don't care about tomorrow. Don't care about yesterday. I don't care about this afternoon. It's now. And 1 John 2:28, I believe, teaches that we are to live our lives in the light of eternity. Because in eternity, we're going to hear either, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or we're going to hear the angelic choir singing, and you kind of picture the angelic choir showing up, and they all have their guitars, and they're singing, "It's a little too late to do the right thing now." And I don't want us to hear that. I want us to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so, I've been looking at some basic truths. I want to look at some basic truths today. And, truth number one, very simple. It is God the Father's will for each of us to be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? And we receive this salvation simply by faith. It's God's grace, our faith. That's truth number one. Truth number two is, it is the Father's will for each of us to live a righteous life. And we receive the righteous life not through our own efforts, but as we trust God the Holy Spirit and we walk with Him, He fills us with the righteous life. Now, when we think about the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit and it's kind of mystical, and I trust the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit says, "John." Of course, if you're not John, you know, that's kind of confusing to you, isn't it? You know, switchboard's confused, not cross, you know. But he says, "John, have a cup of coffee And I say, yes, sir. And I get a cup of coffee. And then the Holy Spirit says this, and I do that. And the Holy Spirit says this, and I do that. And if that were the case, we would not need this book. Say, wouldn't need it. What the Holy Spirit does is He fills us with the character of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we call that the fruit of the Spirit. He fills us, Ephesians 3, with the fullness of God. He fills us with the love of God so that we love one another as Christ has loved us. Sometimes when we see the filling of the Spirit, after that, you'll see things like He fills us with joy, and we sing hymns and psalms and make melody in our heart, worship. He fills us with those things. And so I begin to think of the Holy Spirit as not a mystical part of the Godhead that is kind of my genie. And when I need something, I just rub Him a little bit. That's faith. And then He comes along and takes care of me. Instead, He teaches me His Word, as in your case, Herman teaches you the Word. And then, as you live your life, I got to think of the right word here, excrement happens. You know? That's a theological word. Scabala is the proper term that Paul would use. It happens. And oftentimes we think, I'm sorry that I'm hoarse today. I don't know if it's sinuses or what, but anyway. What? Oh, it's the R what? Okay. And how does she know? Sometimes we think that only believers have problems in their life. And that's not true. Unbelievers have problems. Right? Unbelievers get through their problems. Many of them do. Is that right? Sometimes problems draw us closer to God. Sometimes we react to those problems and it's like they repel us from God. We don't like God. We don't like... My joke is that when God went to school and got His report card, under the heading, follows instructions, He got a U. Unsatisfactory. God does not follow instructions very well because He has what I call the God syndrome. He thinks He's God and I'm not. And so, He thinks His plan for me is better than my plan for Him. And we have these arguments. And I've never won, but that doesn't mean I've given up. Okay? But we seem to think that now I have this problem, and I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to fix it. And I'm home clear. But what God promises to do is to take us through the problem. And we have to remember why we're here. We're here, I believe, for two reasons. One, to bring honor and glory to God. And number two is just to enjoy relationship with Him. Intimacy with Him. Kind of boggles my mind that God created me so that He could have fellowship with me. I mean, duh. You know what I mean? I always think, for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. Y'all know a little bit about Jesus going to the cross? Have y'all studied anything about that? I don't want to ruin it for you, but one day He not only gets on the cross, He gets off the cross. Okay? That's just kind of, I've read ahead. But we think that this suffering should somehow or another just be removed from us mystically. But what God has done is over a period of time, he's taught us or made available the teaching that would enable us to know something about God and therefore have intimacy with him. And therefore, when I have problems, when I have distress, when I have trouble in my life, I know that God loves me. I know that God is faithful to me. And therefore, I can trust God, the Holy Spirit, to recall to my mind the things that I've learned about God and his faithfulness to me and trust him in that situation. You see what I mean? The problem is, and this is one of the things that there are things I don't like about God. I don't like about his plan. There's a prayer that he very seldom answers. It's called the student's prayer. Dear God, the Holy Spirit, please recall to my mind all the things I did not learn. And so what we have is God has made available the teaching of the Word that teaches us about him. So we can just have an intimate relationship with him. And if we make ourselves available to that, then problems come. And what happens is that you are so used to trusting God, you're so used to just saying, wait a minute, God's plan for me is perfect. If this is what he has for me, man, that is great. And you just trust the Holy Spirit, and he recalls and gives you wisdom and gives you peace in your soul, gives you comfort in your soul, and you move right on. All I'm trying to say is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not mystical. It's not like God the Holy Spirit just goes, now you have it. See? And then, of course, after the problem's gone, who needs God? You can just kind of go on your life until you need him again. And then you say, oh, Holy Spirit, come upon me and give me happiness. Thank you, Jesus, and move on. The character of God is developed in us. That's a righteous life. And it takes time. And as your pastor teaches you the Word of God, you receive that righteous life as you trust the Spirit, not through your own efforts, but simply by trusting the Holy Spirit to give it to you. And when you start trusting the Spirit to give you a righteous life, you got to make sure, am I trusting the planner, God? If I trust the planner, I can trust the plan. I don't understand the plan. I don't always understand why things happen. But see where faith comes in is I realize that oftentimes God knows more than I do. That's being omniscient. Well, it's more than 95% of the time. You say, somebody said, more than 95% of the time. And yes, I will. My wife she was giving me a signal and I was trying to go through my zipper, you know. Thank you. I hope that was a cough drop. So I trust God's plan for me because I trust the planner. Do you see that? And if I don't trust his plan, what I'm not doing, I'm not trusting the planner. And I have to just believe by faith, not blind faith, but because of the things that I've learned in Scripture, that God is perfect in his love toward me. And anything that comes about in my life, if I am trusting him and trust that he is going to carry me through this, then it is fulfilling his purpose for me, which is to bring honor and glory to him and to draw me closer to him. And others see Christ in me. I think sometimes our greatest opportunity to witness is during disaster in our lives. And disaster kind of is the test. You know, yes, I've been learning doctrine. I have a whole wall full of notebooks here. You know? I'm not trusting God at all. It was fine when everything was going my way. See, I loved God's plan when win the lottery, when this happens, everything is great. But boy, Skabala falls. And I no longer enjoy God. I no longer like His plan for me. I no longer trust Him. Why? Because you know what? I wasn't trusting Him when things were good. I wasn't. And when I had little problems, I solved those for my own energy, my own flesh. I wasn't used to distrusting God. I wasn't used to distrusting His love. And so, I just kind of drift away. And so I want you to understand that God wills for us to have a righteous life, and that righteousness is directly related to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You see what I mean? And that's what He wants us to have. And then the third thing, number three, is God gives us our inheritance based upon the righteous life He gives us by faith in the Spirit. Did you get that? In eternity, we're going to receive an inheritance. And that inheritance is based upon the righteous life which He gives you. See, Grace? He gives you the righteous life. And then when you get to heaven, He says, for receiving a righteous life from me, I'm going to give you a fantastic inheritance. That's grace. Now, many in Christianity believe that we receive a righteous life by our own efforts, our own works, so forth. I know Herman has taught you about that, and many of you, that's probably following his teaching. You're doing and doing, working hard, striving for Jesus. I'm kidding you. You know, I'm sorry. But if you go to the Christian bookstore or you turn on Christian TV, God help you, in 103 out of 100 cases, you'll hear the righteous life is lived by obedience, by living a moral life, by working, by witnessing, by doing all of these things. And rather than received by faith, which does not mean we're not obedient to God. Do you see the oxymoron we're facing? You're not righteous because you're obedient to God. But if you're righteous, you're obedient to God. I mean, He's the sovereign of the universe. And that's how you started out your Christian life, wasn't it? By obedience. Here's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You follow, you obey that command. Is that true? See? Command, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Those are commands. How do we fulfill them? By faith. See, that's the only difference. Do we fulfill the commands of God based upon our own efforts? Or by faith, therefore on God's efforts? His energy. And that's kind of what separates, shall we say, the men from the boys. And so as we live a life of faith, God is going to give us a righteous life. Now let's turn to Galatians, and we're going to have to skip some things because I know that you know a lot about Galatians, because I know your pastor spent probably a couple of weeks teaching that one time. 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Yeah. In chapters 3 and chapters 5, hopefully you'll remember, that the main subject in that context is God the Holy Spirit. Okay? We got to know what we're talking about. We're talking about God the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The righteous are to live by faith, not by attempting to keep the law. Galatians 5 verse 4 says, "You have been severed from Christ, who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Now, the word "having been severed," interesting word. It means that something has caused you to be unproductive. You've lost your power. You've lost your effectiveness. And then he says, you have withdrawn from Christ. In other words, you don't have any fellowship with him. So, when I try to live a righteous life by my own works, by keeping the law, I lose my intimacy with God, which is one of the main reasons I'm here, is to have an intimate relationship with God. I have tremendous sorrow for so many believers today who are working so hard, and they're just piling up big piles of wood, hay, and stubble. See what I mean? Tremendous effort. Working hard. They're exhausted. And here some of us are just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, going through our lives, and piling up gold, silver, precious stone. Isn't it weird? It doesn't mean that it's not exhausting sometimes. But it's enjoyable because we're fulfilling our purpose in life. It just gets so tiring, though, trying to impress God. You know? And just, you know, think about our own lives. Have you ever had somebody that wanted to be your friend, and so they tried to impress you all the time? Boy, you couldn't wait to spend time with them, could you? No. There's no relaxation. You know, and the relationship Jesus wants with us is where we're both sitting in our easy chairs, kicking back with our feet on the coffee table. You see what I mean? Eating popcorn, peanuts, and having a cold beer. Okay? Not wine. It's a little... That's what God wants with me. That boggles my mind. That God would just want to spend time with me. Just wants to have an intimate relationship. And he wanted it pretty cotton picking bad. Because he sent his son Jesus to pay for my sins so we could have a relationship with him. Don't get confused between the means and the end. Okay? Salvation is just the means, I say just. The end is intimacy with God. Too many Christians stop at salvation. And that's as far as they go. So when he says you've fallen, withdrawn from Christ, the word doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation, but you've lost your intimacy with God because you've stopped trusting God and you started trusting the works of your own hands. If we got into this little word there, fallen from, the word means to be, it's a navigational term, a nautical term, sailor's term, I guess that's pretty much the same. It means to drift off course. So you've drifted off course. I like that term. It's not like you've taken a 180. You've taken a 90-degree turn. No. You've just slowly moved away from your goal, which is intimacy with God. And unfortunately, out here in the water, underneath where you cannot see, are these great big rocks. And because you've drifted off course, you run over these rocks, and it tears a hole in the bottom of your boat. People, when you get your bottom torn off, it's bad. Okay? And you know what we say when that happens? Why did God let this happen to me? God said, I was telling you, you're off course. You're off course. You're not paying attention to me. You're not paying attention. You're off course. But I was busy. I didn't have time to listen. And all of a sudden I'm off course, and it's God's fault. He could have stopped me. Yes, he could have. Could have moved the rocks. And I think one of the fun things in heaven, a little aside here, I think one of the fun things in heaven, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it would be cool, where we get to watch videotapes of all the times God delivered us and we never had a clue. Never had a clue. See? And fortunately, we'll be in our resurrected bodies and we won't be able to have heart attacks. See? And maybe God won't let our parents see. Now, in verse 5, just pretty plain, for we to the Spirit by means of faith are waiting for the confidence of a righteous life. How does a righteous life come? Simply by faith in the Spirit. It's given to us by the Spirit. Your positional righteousness is declared, given to you by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. He just says, you're righteous. Justification. But experiential righteousness is developed over a period of time as we walk day by day by day by day with the Spirit. It doesn't take long. Do you know how long it takes? From the time you trust Christ till the day you die of the rapture. Okay? Not long. Just rest of your life. That's all. Now, chapter 5 finishes up with the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And we talk about what comes out from the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, so forth. Now we get down to chapter 6, which is where we want to go. Wow. Chapter 6 is about all... It's all of our favorite. Money. That's what chapter 6 is about. And look at verse 7. Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, in this first section, we're talking about money. I think Herman and I have, we have a lot in common. That's scary, isn't it? I mean, even for me to say that scares me. I may need a psychiatrist. But we have a lot in common. And we need, or both of us, or, and I'll just ask you here. I'm always a little hesitant to talk about money and offerings, are you? Yeah. Let me tell you, this passage changed my life. It changed my life. Because I'm so excited. I got to get here. Let's just jump in. I'm going to start with verse 2. Bear one another's burden and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Just think, what could be the law of Christ? What do you think we're talking about here? Love. And the burden we're talking about here is a financial burden. The word here is something that's heavy, hard. And so we see a fellow believer in Christ, oh my God, and they're having a financial burden. We are to help them carry it. It's more fun to judge. It's more fun. Well, you know, it's their own fault they got here. If they went up and you know. See? Aren't you glad that when we're in trouble, God doesn't say, well, See? We come running to God. This is how Jesus looks. With his arms open. Say, come here, let me give you a hug. It's been some hard rolling since you got your bottom ripped off. Let me give you a little hug and a little TLC here. He doesn't even tell us. No, he just loves us and hugs us. And that's what people need. And by the way, yep, this is probably is never going to apply to us. That we're going to live in a country. We're going to live in a country that has some financial problems. You know, and I tell you, I am so glad to see y'all here this morning. I thought y'all would all be home, getting on government care doc, whatever it is, and seeing how much money you're going to save this next year on your health insurance. And I just want you to know that God says, if you like your eternal life, you can keep it. Yeah. But he's perfect truth and cannot lie. I'm just going to move on. Okay? Going to move on. So, we're carrying other people's, we help them carry their financial burdens. Now, for if anyone thinks he is something, verse 3, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, have you ever thought, when you see somebody in need, I've never been there. I take good care of myself. I make good decisions. Have you ever been in need? Excuse me? You're born that way. You needed eternal life because you're on the road to hell. Do you see the need we have? Christ fulfilled the need. Every person is needy. Don't we hate that? Because we're self-sufficient. We're men. We're self-reliant. No. We're needy. We need God, the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm thinking about writing a song. I don't know. I need thee every hour. I'm just kind of thinking of a few verses, you know. You can write that. What do you think, Wes? Would that fly? Okay. Okay. Now, so he says in verse 4, but each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Boy, we could spend some time there. But here's what he's saying. We are to examine our own lives first. Have I ever been in need? Yeah. Did God come through and rescue me? Yeah. Okay? And then I want to say, am I walking in step with the Spirit? And if we are, what Paul says, then we can rejoice. We can be happy. We can give glory to God that we're fulfilling God's plan for our lives. People, there's nothing wrong in examining your life periodically and to say, hey, am I fulfilling God's plan for my life? Am I just wandering through the, you know, time and grade? What am I doing? And people are always asking me, well, what about confession? Well, what about it? Here's a great place for confession. Because you know what? the odds are very good that after you get your bottom ripped off, that the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you're not fulfilling God's plan for your life. And this is the time for confession. I agree with you, Lord. I'm not. Then it's time for repentance. I got to change course. I'm sailing through an ocean full of rocks just under the water, tearing my bottom up. And over here is a channel that gets me out. You see, I can't just... We still have room up in the front or in the middle, grab a couple of chairs, or see somebody you're bigger than they are, flip them off, throw them out of their chair. What time are we supposed to be through? 10:15. Okay, I better hurry. Do you see where repentance comes in? I'm going to change course. I'm going to change my mind about my thinking about God. You know, His plan for me is better than my plan for me. So I trust Him. I'm going to trust His plan. I don't have to understand why all of these things happen to me. That's not my job. My job is just to trust God, that He knows what He's doing. And then, as I'm walking in step with the Spirit, trusting the Spirit, it's amazing. He can recall to my mind the things that I've learned. He can give me spiritual wisdom. And I begin to understand God's love for me. And that becomes a reality in my life. And I'm not worried now about getting patching the holes in my bottom. See? I'm just concerned. I say, see, Christians, we use that word. We're concerned. We don't worry. We're concerned. I'm just concerned about getting back on course by walking with the Spirit, start trusting the Spirit, and follow His leading. That's all. That's where I got to go. Now, verse 5, and we're in Galatians chapter 6. For each one will bear his own load. The word here, load, is a day pack. Okay? Now, earlier, you see someone has a financial burden, they got this heavy pack. Oh, Anakin is barely carrying. Here, let me take some of that for you. This is your day pack. It's a light pack. And you have to carry your own pack. The question is, what's in your day pack? See? And you can have one or two things in your day pack. You can have faith or do and do. And I'm going to tell you something. A day pack full of do and do, do-do, is heavier than and harder to carry and a little more smelly than a pack full of faith, which is light. Do you see that? What's in my day pack? Faith. Trusting God. Remember, in faith, there's no power in faith. It's in the object. Power is in the object of faith. And, yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Okay, the word for burden in verse 2 is a heavy pack, a field pack. Okay? Verse 5, the word is just a little light day pack. You ever done any hiking? So, you're going to go hiking in the mountains for a week? There's your heavy pack. You don't carry 100 pounds to go on a hike for a picnic. Ding, 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 ding. Yes. So what's in my day pack is my faith. That's my provision That's what's going to carry me, is my faith in God, my faith in His plan, trusting His plan, trusting the Spirit. Do you see what I mean? Trusting His love when it doesn't look right. That's what carries me through. So therefore, I can help someone else who, verse 2, has a heavy load, heavy laden. And here, we're talking about financial. Right? Wow. So you're having a real financial problem. I just want you to know, I pray for you. You know, because right now it would be too expensive for me to cash in any of my bearer bonds. And you see what I mean? And my gold is in my safety deposit box. And are you with me? See, when my pack is full of faith, it's going to be full of spiritual love. And so when it sees a problem that it can handle through the guidance of the Spirit, it acts. Now, the point I want to make here in verse 5 is, nobody can carry your day pack for you. Boy, I wish I could. Yeah. You have to trust God, the Holy Spirit, yourself. No one can carry it for you. And in the following verses, what we have is individualism. We're both all responsible for our own lives as unto the Lord. I can't trust God's plan for you. Well, I wish I could. You ever wish that, Herman? Somebody in your church, because see, we're shepherds, and man, we feel for the sheep. I just wish I could trust God for you. But I can't. You have to trust yourself. You don't trust yourself. You yourself have to trust God's plan. Now, Paul then switches to a form of collectivism, and I'm gonna make a confession. I'm not gonna finish this morning. You mean Herman sometimes doesn't get as far as he thinks he is? Wow. So I'm just going to tell you what about verse 7. And then if Herman will let me come back next week, I'll finish this up. If he doesn't, you'll never know. What he's going to say in this mutual benefit. Look at verse 6. The one who has taught the word is to share all good things with this teacher, one who's teaching him. You're to share. Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. I love this word for mocked. I'm glad we're here. We're not getting ready to eat. The word for mock here is to blow snot on somebody. Okay? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I can't think of too many things that are more degrading than somebody, you know, they got that cold and they just full of snot, and you just hold one nostril, and you, don't worry, and you just blow snot out on them. Let it go. Ooh, let me tell you, don't blame me. There are a lot of passages I'm going to talk to the Holy Spirit about when I get to heaven. His choice of words and terms, because they offend me. I'm a very sensitive person. But Paul says, don't blow snot on God. I think that's probably good advice. Okay? Don't blow snot, because let me tell you, if you want to get in a snot blowing contest with God, you're going to lose. Because He's omnipresent and omnipotent. He has an unlimited supply of snot. And He's omnipresent, so wherever you go, He's got you. I bet you'll remember that illustration. Think about it when you're getting ready to eat that second piece of pie. Here's what Paul is saying. That we're to share all good things with the one who teaches. Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And here's where we're going to go next week. You share in the ministry with Herman. And Herman spends, 15, 20 minutes a week studying the Word. Okay? And then he comes with you to here and he shares with you what God has taught him that week. And people, that's gold. That's gold. And I use gold because it has intrinsic value. And gold, silver, precious stone, and eternity, it's eternal. The word that he teaches you, you'll have forever. Forever. And then you take the word as the Holy Spirit teaches it to you, and God, the Holy Spirit, uses that doctrine, that word of God, to mold you into the image of Christ, so that now your life brings honor and glory to God. And in the meantime, you have intimacy with God, and that means you have joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment in life. Life is fantastic. That's John 10:10. Jesus said, I didn't just come to give you eternal life. I came to give you the abundant life, a fantastic life. You've got that life. And then, in eternity, when your life is evaluated, all of our lives are going to be evaluated. And you have gold, silver, precious stone. That's what you get from Herman. Okay? You got that? I thought God, he does, but he teaches you the word. Holy Spirit manufactures that into gold, silver, precious stone. But you're a partner with Herman. You share with him. You know what he gets? Beans. You give him beans and he gives you gold. Beans for gold. That's a ganga. That's a deal. That's better than Black Friday or whatever deals they are. You see? You come and offering plate comes by, you put beans in it. Not literally, hopefully. But maybe money, green beans, and that sustains him during the week so that he can feed you the next week. And in return, you come back the next week and you get gold and silver and precious stone. So every time you have an offering and you think cheerful giver, you just grin because you're putting beans in the plate and you're getting back gold and silver and diamonds. Are you with me? That is a Black Friday deal. That's better. And that's where we're going to go next week, is you trade your beans for gold. By the way, only God can come up with a plan like this. Herman and I spend our weeks every day doing what we like to do best, studying the Word, learning about Jesus. We get paid for it. You see what I mean? One day, because we've been faithful in teaching the Word, we're going to get a reward in eternity just for being faithful and teaching the Word. Just being faithful. Just as your reward is going to be based upon your faithfulness to God. Faithfulness and trusting the Spirit. That's where we're going next week, not next hour. Okay? Any other questions before we close? Because I think I'm way past time. Well, see, you wait until they're ready to stop or eat, and then... Okay. Father, thanks for this time. I pray that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would take these things and just make them real to each one of us, and that we would just enjoy making that trade of beans for gold and gold for beans as we walk in your truth and enjoy your presence each and every day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.